You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's live talk, and I'm your host, Michelle Gasso. Today we will be speaking with Tammy Seltzer of the Bazelon Center for Mental Health Law about the Americans with Disabilities Act and the rights of inmates with mental disabilities. Tammy Seltzer is a senior staff attorney at the Judge David L. Bazelon Center for Mental Health Law, a national nonprofit public interest organization formed in 1972 to advance the legal rights of people with mental disabilities and ensure their equal access to services and supports they need for participation in community life. Her recent work includes a project focusing on preventing the unnecessary criminalization of adults with mental illness who have committed nonviolent offenses, work which is funded in substantial part by the MacArthur Foundation and the Center on Crime, Communities, and Culture grant. As part of her work in this area, Ms. Seltzer has provided extensive technical assistance to states and advocates on the issue of diversion, including mental health courts. She's co-authored the Bazelon Center's report, The Role of Mental Health Courts in System Reform, participated in the Council of State Governments Criminal Justice Mental Health Consensus Project, and initiated litigation challenging criminal justice system practices that contribute to lengthier detentions for people with serious mental illnesses. Ms. Seltzer has a JD from the David A. Clark School of Law at the University of the District of Columbia and a Bachelor's of Science in Public Policy from Cornell University. Today she will discuss how the ADA is being applied to prisoners with mental disabilities and what agencies are required to do under the law. So welcome to today's live talk, Ms. Seltzer.
Thank you.
We're very happy to have you. First off, can we talk a little bit about what is really required of correctional facilities and agencies in general in terms of providing accommodations and certain services to offenders with mental health disabilities?
Well, correctional facilities have long had constitutional obligations to provide basic services to all inmates, such as food, clothing, shelter, and health care. But the constitutional requirements are really a bare minimum. Under the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, correctional facilities need to ensure that offenders with disabilities have access to the same services that are offered to other offenders who don't have disabilities. And this may require accommodations to enable the person with a disability to be able to access those services. Now, it's easy for most people to understand what this means for inmates who have physical disabilities, like the inmate who is the subject of a current Supreme Court case, Goodman versus Georgia, which was just argued this week. Mr. Goodman, who uses a wheelchair, was forced to live in a cell where he couldn't turn around and where he couldn't use the bathroom. So I think that's pretty easy for people to understand,
right?
Well, you need to make a cell that's accessible. But when we're talking about mental disabilities, we're talking about things like continuity of care from arrest to release. And that means access to treatment, not just medication, but assistance with coping in a very stressful environment, especially for people who hallucinate or are prone to paranoia. It means access to programs that are available to other inmates, such as AA and NA meetings, religious services, and other supports and social interaction. Discharge planning, so that people with mental illnesses are connected to benefits and services when they leave jail or prison and can break the cycle of recidivism.
How close would you say prisons and jails are to meeting these requirements? And these cases are continuing to come up, and I don't know if you can sort of gauge, you know, whether corrections agencies, you know, fully are on target with these requirements?
I would say not close enough. Even though the ADA became law 15 years ago, too many correctional facilities are just now becoming aware of their responsibilities regarding offenders who have mental disabilities. When the ADA was enacted, it was supposed to level the playing field in all aspects of life for people with disabilities, including the criminal justice system. But unfortunately, people with disabilities had to go all the way to the Supreme Court to prove that the ADA applied to state correctional settings, and the Yeski decision settled that question in 1998, Yet, here we are again this week, back in the Supreme Court over a disability case in a correctional facility. The question this time is whether inmates like Mr. Goodman can collect monetary damages for the suffering he endured. And, I mean, the bottom line is if facilities can ignore the ADA until they're sued, and then the only consequence is to correct what they should have done in the first place, which in Mr. Goodman's case, for example, was to make his cell accessible, then we're not going to see much progress. Unfortunately, the fear of large monetary awards is sometimes the only motivator for change. We hope that that's not the case, but unfortunately it often is.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Tammy Seltzer of the Baseline Center for Mental Health Law about the ADA. Do you think, I wanted to ask you about, you know, whether corrections agencies maybe aren't so aware of what they might be required to do, or are there other barriers, and, you know, maybe corrections agencies might say, you know, we can't afford to put in certain doors, you know, to every part of our prison, or, you know, we need more help, and maybe in the case of mental health services, maybe they don't have the right kinds of services. Maybe it's a larger issue. I don't know.
Well, at the state level, we're actually seeing a greater awareness regarding mental health issues, especially around discharge planning. Just this year, Maryland and Minnesota both passed legislation to address the benefits issue for offenders with mental illness who need Medicaid and other benefits like Social Security benefits to be successful in the community. And foundations are taking notice of these issues, too. The Baseline Center just received a grant from the JET Foundation to provide technical assistance to three states on the discharge planning issue. And we're also seeing a lot of innovation at the county level. Multnomah County, Oregon, has an extensive program to ensure that offenders who are being released to their county have a discharge plan that includes housing, treatment, benefits like Medicaid and food stamps, and employment support, which is really unusual. In terms of the barriers, I mean, there are plenty of barriers that I've found in my work. I mean, every state is different. Every correctional facility is different, especially in states where you've got the county, you know, systems, local systems. And asking agencies to work together that haven't traditionally worked together very well, like mental health and corrections and Social Security, that's always a challenge.
Right.
And there's also the question of fear surrounding mental illness. Even though studies have shown that people with mental illnesses are no more likely to be violent than your neighbor, unless they're drinking, which, of course, that's true for everybody, we still see a lot of actions that are taken based on fear. But the most interesting point, I think, is that correctional officials are often the people who are bringing attention to the needs of people with mental illnesses in jails and prisons. The largest barrier, then, I think, may be that these officials are being asked to serve people who don't belong in the criminal justice system in the first place.
That's an interesting point.
So we need to ask mental health and law enforcement what their agencies are doing to prevent the incarceration of people with mental illnesses who are largely nonviolent.
Yeah, and that's something that your organization is working on as well, is that right?
Absolutely. And I would encourage your listeners to check out our website, which is Bazelon.org, to learn more about some of these issues.
Well, we were just talking earlier about the Goodman case, and you know, it's, you said, you know, here we are, you know, 10 years later, we're still in front of the Supreme Court on the ADA. But what sort of is left to be decided around the ADA? You know, it does apply to state facilities, it does apply to prisons, it does apply to jails. You know, what sort of needs to be, you know, confirmed?
Well, when it comes to mental disabilities, we're just getting started. Access to diversion and pretrial release programs, I think, is probably the next big area of attention. Just to give you a couple of examples, you know, there are often opportunities for people pre-trial to be released into substance abuse programs if that contributed to the offense. And we find that a lot of these substance abuse programs won't allow people with mental illnesses to participate because they're taking medication, and these programs prohibit the participants from taking medication of any kind. In other instances, inmates with mental illnesses who live in group homes have been denied participation in release programs that use ankle bracelets to track offenders. And this is because they lived in a group home, which is pretty common for adults with a serious mental illness. They may live in a group setting, and there weren't enough phone lines in the group home to be able to use these ankle bracelets. So the people with mental illnesses stayed incarcerated prior to trial. I mean, that's a lose-lose proposition for the facilities,
sure,
for the people with mental illnesses, and certainly for the community that pays for their unnecessary incarceration.
Right. So it seems like there's a bit of work still to be done.
Absolutely.
Well, that concludes today's live talk. Thank you again to Tammy Seltzer for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Well, you're welcome, and also thank you to our audience for tuning in. For more information about the ADA and the Goodman v. Georgia case before the Supreme Court, be sure to read this week's articles on the Corrections Connection at www.corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.